Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Isn't it great that suddenly with an actual delegate contest under our belts, there is something real to talk about in the presidential campaign for once? Bernie Sanders has a real momentum test coming up in New Hampshire. Number two in the Iowa caucuses, does he have to win New Hampshire big to show strength in his home-baked territory of New England and prevent the challenging Southern primaries from overwhelming his campaign and his straightforward message?
Today in America, we are the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. But few Americans know that because so much of the new income and wealth is going to the people on top.
That Sanders message was streamed to the world digitally last year from Georgetown University. This message was recorded originally on film and videotape back in 1983, when it was Mayor Bernie Sanders of Burlington, Vermont.
We are the heirs of a tradition of many, many hundreds of years before the word socialism was coined. The vision is not different today than it was hundreds of years ago. Egalitarianism, the right that all human beings are entitled to a decent life, the right that a handful of people shouldn't run the country or the world. Nothing new about this. They've been talking about it for a few thousand years. And that's what we're talking about today.
Whatever the images you're looking at, he's unafraid, he's unassuming, he's unaffected by celebrity and the trappings of the power bubble in any of his public life. You might say Bernie Sanders is the anti-Trump. Arun Chaudhary served as the first official White House videographer from 2009 to 2011. He's now creative director at Revolution Messaging and serves as the digital creative director for the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign. And that means when you stumble on an internet image of the candidate, Arun makes sure that that image lets you see what he sees through the camera.
I think the one thing that you can only tell about a politician through filming them, something that is impossible to figure out at a debate or from a speech or an interview, is how curious, how intellectually curious is your candidate? What do they think about? Things they don't know about, and how do they approach that? Because there's so much stagecraft in politics, and the whole thing is set up, you know, oftentimes for television shows or for the media in general, that unscripted, honest moments in which an individual, a man or woman, may be sort of asking questions like, what is this? I'd like to know more about this. It's something I think is fundamentally unique to sort of backstage videography when it comes into politics, and is just an amazingly important tool for voters to get to know the people who are going to be their elected officials.
How many hours of video do you take on a, you know, busy day, say the Iowa caucuses?
You know, here's what it is, I think, when you're really effectively doing this work and being close to a candidate or being close to a government official, it's that you want to be around all the time, but you don't want to be shooting all the time. You want to be judicious about what you shoot, because if you're just shooting all the time, A, you have all this footage and no time to edit it, and B, you're just creating a haystack for yourself to find the good stuff in. So I think it's about being in a presence, especially when you're talking about politicians, they have bubbles. It's about traveling in that bubble, but only raising the camera up when you need it. And some of that is technical, and some of that is artistic, and some of that is also just personality-based. Nobody wants to hang out, you know, with the cameraman who has the camera in their face all the time. You know, I can actually give you, you know, an example of that. Just coming out of the Iowa caucuses, Bernie Sanders and his wife Jane decided to take a walk just to, you know, clear head, see what was going on, take stock, and they walked around the lake. And the reason that there are no pictures of it is because I did not chase after him with the camera. I was like, I think this is actually a private moment, and he would like to go do that.
What on Bernie Sanders' face tells you he's about to do something that you're going to want to shoot?
Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama, you know, who I've gotten a chance to work very close with both of them, are very similar in that they are just the same person on and off camera. That being said, it means he's sort of always doing something that's camera worthy because he's always being Bernie Sanders. But I like try to look at it through his head. So is what he is doing or talking about or interacting adding up to something that's on message, for lack of a better word, that actually promotes an idea? But if it's just sort of access to get it, then I know that he's probably not going to be as much into it because he's just someone who is very practical, is very passionate, and doesn't want to commit resources or energy to something that is not going to, you know, help further whatever his aim is, whether it be, you know, legislation or getting the vote out or whatever the actual task at hand is.
But in looking at some of the poll numbers, aren't some of the challenges that you're filming the age of who Bernie is talking to?
You know, it's funny when you're talking about looking at things through the lens, because obviously the Bernie Sanders phenomenon has really taken a hold with young people in an amazing way, and it's been very gratifying to watch them and to take those photographs, which is primarily what I've been doing these last weeks. But you could see through the lens, you could see in the pictures, the nature of the crowd, you know, being very, very young and the people being very, very excited. And I think that that is not something people immediately thought of when they thought of the Bernie Sanders campaign. I think they thought it might be a lot of older folks who maybe, you know, were of his generation and wanted to have the conversation about FDR and things like that. But it turns out that he is most exciting for young people who are really looking for more. And it's just the undeniable proof that it was true, just was just through the lens. Picture after picture was just excited young person on the rope line, just rushing up to meet this man.
This curious phenomenon in filmmaking where you get the illusion that because you're holding the camera, you see everything that nobody else sees. But sometimes when you get in the edit room, you realize, oh my God, I had no idea what I was looking at. Characters sort of step out of the viewfinder and become these huge characters.
Like all great artistic inventions, and perhaps I'm saying all great, this was born out of necessity. Once Bill Clinton did so well in the New Hampshire primary, if you were a documentary filmmaker, you knew you were never going to see him again, because now he was a serious candidate and the upswing for whatever you were doing was going to be way worse than the downswing, whatever they were going to get. And so the idea of kind of shifting the focus of the movie downstream to the consultants, I think now seems so obvious. Like, of course you'd just do that, but no one had really thought of that before. And I think we have now an entire sort of genre, both of work that's done in the service of campaigns, work that's done in documentary, and frankly, work that's done in fiction film, that is entirely based on that idea. So when you think about someone like a David Axelrod, who's like a character in the Barack Obama story, you know, when you think of a show like The West Wing, the idea that, you know, the president's not going to be in every shot, but all the folks who work for him are actually going to be in every shot. All of that, I think, goes out to people very practically looking at the bubble, looking at politics from a news or from a documentary perspective. And then in this case, just born of necessity, being like, we no longer have access to the candidate. How else can we tell this story? But I'm just so grateful for that, because so much of the work that I've done is really standing on the shoulders of those giants who figured some of those things out. And if I had one thing to add to sort of the canon, I think the thing that I brought to it, my idea, was always that true, authentic political art should always take something that's extraordinary and make it ordinary so that regular folks can understand what this is. Am I giving someone an authentic experience? Am I answering a real question that they've asked? Am I giving information that is practically useful in their lives? And I think when you do those things and when you navigate this world, which can seem tricky and, you know, and devious and all of these things, with that kind of simple, open-hearted manner, you can make great, great things, whether that be the race speech that Barack Obama gave in 2008 or something as simple as Bernie Sanders' 404 message, which is the message that you get when you type something incorrectly on the internet.
The good news is you're on the right website, and it's a really good website. The bad news is you're on the wrong page. Just scoot down to the bottom of the page, and you'll find your way back home to where you should be.
These things can be funny, they can be tragic, they can be heartfelt, but they have to be real.
Arun, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Arun Chaudhry served as the first official White House videographer from 2009 to 2011. He's now creative director at Revolution Messaging and digital creative director for the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign.